Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. The United Nations is reporting that there could be as many as 30,000 Daesh fighters still operating between Syria and Iraq. Interestingly enough, they are concentrated in areas held by U.S.-supported Syrian Democratic Forces. Now, the report says that Daesh is also back into controlling some Syrian oil fields and is selling crude. What does it all mean? Stay with us as we take a look at the latest situation on the ground in both Syria and Iraq. We're going to cross over to Damascus, joined by Press TV's Muhammad Ali. And thanks so much for being with us, Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, please fill us in on the information that you have regarding the re-emerging of Daesh in some areas.
Yes, in 2017, the Syrian army backed by Russia was able to defeat Daesh and turn it from what it described itself as a huge organization into small groups scattered in Syria's desert. The Syrian army at that time carried out a lot of military operations, months long, that led to such a victory. But now there is a UN report saying that Daesh is re-emerging after, of course, taking control and gaining access to some of the Syrian oil fields in Syria's desert. The Daesh terrorist groups are still now present mostly in east of Syria, on the borderline between Iraq and Syria, and also now, according to the UN newly released report, inside the oil fields. And they are actually making profits of selling oil. It is very important to point out too is that those Daesh terrorist groups are mostly now active in areas that are either inside the perimeter of the control of the so-called Syria's Democratic Forces backed by the U.S. or around them, and even also so those Daesh terrorists are having a near an area called Al-Rukban in the eastern countryside of Al-Suwayda, which is only 20 kilometers from the Al-Tanf U.S. Base over there. And many question marks are actually raised on why isn't the U.S. Carrying out any effort to eliminate Daesh terrorists, since that they are at least close to the base of the U.S. over there. Many question marks when you ask the Syrian people on the ground and even experts over here on why the United States is not actually carrying out serious efforts for defeating Daesh completely areas that it is close to, at least over there. Also, very important facts that we have to point out to is that, for example, in October 2014, the United States dropped boxes of ammunition and weapons that turned into the hands of Daesh at the end of the day. We saw videos at that time, Daesh showing U.S. made hand grenades over there that they took control of after the U.S. dropped such weapons, supposedly for Kurdish fighters. So many question marks on is the U.S. serious about fighting Daesh, or is it using it as a tool against the Syrian army? Because at the end of the day, Daesh is fighting the Syrian army, and the United States is known to be actually trying to topple the Syrian government for a long time now, for years, supporting the...
All right. Well, thanks so much for that. Thanks so much for that update out of Damascus. Press TV's Muhammad Ali, and of course, we're going to be looking at some of these questions and hopefully get to the bottom of this. I'd like to welcome to the program columnist from The Hill, Brent Podolsky, out of Washington, D.C., and from The Answer Coalition, Richard Becker, out of San Francisco. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off with Brent Podolsky and D.C. How is it that Daesh has been basically crushed in both Iraq and Syria, but in areas controlled or nearby U.S. allies? The terrorist group seems to be on the rise again.
Now, let me correct that. The original story I think you're working from on this, which was sent to me by Press TV, was from RT, that's Russia. That's Russian intelligence and that's Russian propaganda. I would suggest anyone in our audience who can do an internet search for this and read, as I did, seven or eight other stories from different news organizations. They read entirely different. Point two, the United Nations report's numbers are probably pretty close to accurate, and there probably are more than 30,000, more or less. That is true. But it's a report for all of Syria and all of Iraq we're talking about. So our audience needs to understand it's propaganda, and it's false to suggest that this has something to do being overly concentrated in American-held territory.
Well, look, Rick, if you look at the areas, if you look at the areas being held that on a map, and you
read
see where these areas are located, that Daesh
now,
is still mostly located, you will see that
now,
they are in or
now,
near.
Some of them are
in or
some,
near these areas.
Some of them are.
Go ahead.
Some of them are, and some of them aren't. Mm. And I just listened to 6 minutes of propaganda. Go read the actual report, which I actually did. And it does not single out the United States. It does not single out the Americans. That is something that Russia is trying to do,
okay,
that the United Nations is not doing. And I would urge Iran and Press TV to be very careful about repeating Russian propaganda if we're going to have credibility in this kind of a discussion.
And, of course, we have read the UN report.
Would,
let me cross over to San Francisco.
Let me get
Richard Becker. Stay with me, Brett. Let me bring Richard Becker in on this. What about that, Richard? Now, Brent is saying basically this is perhaps false news because it's coming out of Russia. Your take on this, because if we look at the history of the situation that's taking place in Syria and Iraq, as a matter of fact, with Daesh being present, we have seen time and time and time again that actually U.S. weapons were mistakenly sent to Daesh, your take on all of this?
Well, I think anyone who really looks at the UN report will see that while it's written in diplomatic language, that it's making it very clear that the concentration of Daesh ISIS forces in eastern Syria and in western Iraq, are, and particularly the one in eastern Syria, is in an area that is controlled by the Syrian Democratic Forces and the United States. And that the United States government, the Pentagon, and Trump are saying the United States is going to stay in Syria a long time. What's the justification for staying in Syria for a long time? The justification is this one, that ISIS still exists there. It seems impossible to believe that if the United States military did not want ISIS to be there, and particularly in that pocket inside eastern Syria that controls some of Syria's oil fields, it would not be there anymore. So I think that they're using that as a justification to keep forces in which top U.S. officials are saying will be in Syria for a very long time to come. The U.S. objective still is to bring about regime change in Syria. They have lost ground in their quest. But they are trying to remain a force in the region and a dominating force in the region.
Well, Brent, now the U.S. is reporting, the U.N., sorry, is reporting more terrorist cells by the group than a more solidified unit as the group once was. What does this mean? And why is it so difficult to wipe out these last terrorists in your perspective?
Well, because there's not as much cooperation as there should be between the United States, Iran, Syria, and Russia to do this for a variety of reasons we could take an hour to discuss. It is true that there is a problem. It is true that the accurate number of ISIS terrorists is probably in the range of 30,000. And by the way, within the last 10 days, the Defense Department of the United States told Congress that they believe that is a good number of about 30,000. That is the official position in terms of the number of the United States government, which actually agrees with the official position of the United Nations report. What we need to do is to get more cooperation between the different countries involved. We could do better. All countries could do better. America could do better. Iran could do better. Syria could do better. Russia could do better. But I'm just going to really resist the kind of propaganda I just heard from San Francisco, which was full of falsehoods and deceptions. And you got to take out a help wanted ad to find Americans who are so easy to believe Russia propaganda. The problem can be, the responsibility for the problem can be shared and should be shared by everybody. That is the truth.
Okay.
There is a problem with more ISIS. That is the truth. And there needs to be better efforts by everybody. That is the truth.
Okay.
But to single out America is a fraud and a lie and a falsehood, and I'm fed up with hearing it, and I'm particularly fed up with hearing it from Americans who believe it without knowing what they're talking about.
All right, Richard Becker, the UN reports warns about the return of the Daesh terror group in East Syria. And it says that a slowdown in the fight against Daesh has given the terror group breathing space to emerge again in Syria. Your take on why the militant group has been given breathing space?
Well, I think that, to put it very plainly, they've been somewhat protected by the United States, which has repeatedly bombed Syrian forces and other allied forces with Syria when they attempted to fight against Daesh, against ISIS in that area. It's not a lie. It's absolutely true. And it's made them very reluctant
to continue.
Darn
well it's a lie.
So, your other guest has this ridiculous argument that they all need to work together more. They're not going to be able to work together if States Air Force is bombing them. The United States has no right to be in Syria. It was not invited by the government. It is another
propaganda.
Really a violation of international law for the U.S. forces
propaganda.
To be there. They have no grounds to be there. They have no grounds whatsoever to be there. It's just another imperialist intervention.
Okay, Brent, you...
Propaganda.
All right, Brent, you say it's propaganda, but of course we do know that the United States was
I got to tell you, I'm going to fall asleep listening to this propaganda.
Was not invited by the Syrian government.
Well, you just spout the Washington line, Brent.
You're going back to the same position.
Over and over again.
All right,
when
Brent.
I would like to see a Syrian government chosen by the Syrian people in an honest election with internationally neutral observers.
Hold on a second. The question at hand is, do you respect the sovereignty of nations? Do you respect the sovereignty of the Syrian government or not?
I will respect the sovereignty of the Syrian government chosen by an internationally observed election where there were neutral and honest observers, where people get a right to choose.
And of course, they have had an election.
Well,
observers.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah, you want to say they've had an honest election? We could debate that for 6 hours somewhere else. I'm sorry.
So elections have to be certified by the United States, or actually they're null and void. That's what you're
telling me. That's not what I said.
Because there are many countries that accepted it.
I just said quite clearly. No, I said three times internationally neutral observers. That's what I said.
And of course, they had internationally neutral observers, but it depends on who is accepting which observer, right, Brent? Well, Richard, when we look at the situation, is it not, though, in general, there is this lack of respect for sovereignty coming out of the West? We look at, for example, the United States. We know with the whole Syrian situation and the way it started. And of course, in supporting these so-called militant groups, basically to overthrow the sovereign government of Bashar al-Assad. And it just went from there, trying to destroy, basically what they've destroyed is the whole infrastructure. I want to talk about the foundation of that, if you agree or not. Is it basically something based on arrogance and a lack of respect for these independent nations to choose their own paths?
Yeah, I mean, the United States government has no more respect for the sovereignty of other countries than any other empire in history has. That is a characteristic
propaganda.
Of empire, that they do not respect the sovereignty
propaganda.
And the rights and the borders of other countries. The United States policy is that it can intervene anywhere, even and to violate the sovereignty of its allies by imposing fines. The U.S. Treasury Department, huge fines, billions of dollars on countries that violate, quote unquote, violate U.S. sanctions against countries like Iran or against Russia or against Cuba or many other countries. So there's an extraterritorial aspect to the U.S. sanctions policy, which is a violation of sovereignty. And that's not to mention, you know, what are the troops still doing in Japan and Okinawa and Germany?
Propaganda.
More than 70 years after the end of World War II, that is violating the sovereignty of those countries. And the people feel that
propaganda.
Way. There's no question about
Brent,
it. You go to Okinawa,
please,
they all want the U.S. bases out.
I'll give you a chance to answer, but please let Richard speak. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very unpopular policy all over the world, the U.S. interventionist policy. The U.S. has more than 800 military bases around the world. What are they doing? Protecting democracy? No, they're protecting the interests a power and profit and empire.
Okay.
And that's and what they're doing in Syria is another extension of that.
Let me get Brent back in on this discussion. Well, Brent, how difficult is it to really curtail a terrorist group's activities, such as selling oil? This is not an easy process to work the refinery, load the crude, and find and sell to potential buyers. Your take on that side of things?
No, I have been critical of just about everybody on all sides of this policy going back 5 years. My point, though, is what I said earlier, what we need to find is cooperation from all of the people who are against terrorists. That includes the United States, Iran, Syria, Russia, and the internal people who want a free country. So it's obvious to me that what has to happen is a degree of cooperation that is much greater than we've had from the beginning until today. There is a problem. I have been warning about this for a long time, and I just said the United States government, through the Defense Department, agrees that there is a problem with about 30,000 that are left. So what you have to do is to work together to do it when all these people are at different odds. Now, I would like to see the agreement with Iran upheld. I don't support sanctions against anybody right now. I don't support sanctions against our allies. I've opposed that part of Trump's policy, and I will. And I will tomorrow. And I'd like to see. I think what the United States and Iran should do and what Russia should do is to find ways to cooperate, to kill the terrorists who want to kill the innocent people. What I won't stand for are the old propagandistic debates. I do not respect it, that I have to hear from some people again and again, no matter what show, what country, what television. It's the same propaganda about an American imperialism, which is absolute nonsense.
You're just
the real problem is a lack of cooperation and a lack of action.
Brent.
And
you're
we need to
do Richard, let Brent finish. Go ahead, Brent.
Now, I'll close it with this. Richard's lying through his teeth, because anybody who reads my columns, anybody who's seen me on television and CNN as well as other networks, knows that I have plenty disagreed with policies, but I also support those policies that make more sense. And
okay.
What we need today is we need cooperation to kill the terrorists from countries that are fighting each other and not fighting the terrorists.
All
That's
right.
the point.
Let me get Richard back in on this discussion. Richard, your take on all this. Do you think there are state players involved? When we're talking about, especially we look at the oil, when we're talking about taking over refineries and again, selling it, it's not easy. It's not like you're just going down to the corner store and someone is coming to buy it. So there seems to be a lot of state players, perhaps, involved in this. Your take on why this aspect still has not been able to be shut down yet?
Well, there can't be any possible explanation for that except that the United States and its allies in that part of Syria want it to continue. Are allowing it to continue.
Propaganda.
I mean, it's not too hard to see from a satellite or from a reconnaissance drone, oil tankers, tanker trucks driving down roads. That's how they get the oil to market. Probably it's going through Turkey. But it can't happen without the acquiescence, at the very least, of the U.S. forces and its allies in that region. I mean, there's no other explanation for it. And to try to come up with one or to claim that that's propaganda, I think just makes you look ridiculous.
Let me answer that directly.
Ahead,
and let me answer that lie directly, because I'm getting fed up with lies from Americans who don't represent more Americans than can fit in my living room. Would agree with what I just heard. The United States does not want ISIS to get oil, to sell the oil, to make money. That is a lie. That is a fraud. That is propaganda. And I'm fed up to the gills with anybody phony enough to try to sell that story. I'm sorry. I'll repeat.
Why do they
We all should be cooperating to stop this. We should not be propagandizing, and the countries involved that can't put a stop to this need to work with each other. Iran and the United States can work together to defeat ISIS, and we should be doing it. But this kind of propaganda that I'm hearing right now from San Francisco, I am fed up to the gills. There are 10 Americans who believe the United States wants ISIS to have oil. I don't even think Press TV probably has people in the audience who believe that unless they're America haters. And I darn well resent somebody sitting in San Francisco repeating propaganda after propaganda to attack our country by saying things that are false.
Okay,
enough of that stuff. I'm getting bored by it, and it's getting me angry.
Richard, your take, do you think that in the years of war in both Iraq and Syria, that Washington really, really has tried to fight against Daesh as it claims to be? Because we saw in the very beginning when Daesh took off, we saw them in the vehicles, thousands and thousands of vehicles crossing in the desert, nothing done. And now we see again the situation with the oil refineries that basically one would think that air cover could help take out this situation. Your take on that side of things, Richard?
Well, of course, that's the point I was making. I mean, it's you can't have disguised oil tankers and on desert roads. They're very easy to see. And especially with all the high-tech equipment, the satellites and everything else that is at the disposal of the U.S. military. The U.S. approach to Syria it's gone through different phases, and we know that. But from the very beginning, and this was being said in the spring and summer of 2011, that long ago, when the struggle really erupted there, was that the government had to go. They were saying it openly. Clinton was saying it. Obama was saying it. They were talking openly about getting rid of the government, about regime change. It was no secret. It wasn't propaganda. It wasn't hidden. It's the truth of the matter, is that that's what the U.S. objective was at that time. The Syrian government was able, after early losses, to rally and to strengthen its position with help from outside that it requested. And so the U.S. policy has evolved over time. But huge amounts of U.S. aid have gone to groups like al-Qaeda. That's very well documented. They
propaganda.
Trained people in Jordan. Gave them all these half a billion dollars worth of weapons, and then reported themselves. The Defense Department itself reported that all of that went into the rebels, went into the hands of the rebels, and the particular rebels whose hands it went into were the Nusra Front, the Al-Qaeda affiliate in Syria.
Okay,
let me just jump in here, Richard, because we're just about out of time.
Stay with me, Richard. Brent, what do you think it's going to take to totally eliminate Daesh in the near future? 1 minute.
I think it's going to take cooperation between the United States, Iran, Russia, and all the other countries involved to do it right. It's not easy to stop that. It is a danger. It is a threat, and we need to deal with it. The way to deal with it is for the countries that want to kill ISIS to stop fighting each other and to start working together to kill ISIS.
Okay. And Richard, same question.
I think that what has to happen is that the U.S. has to get out of Syria. The U.S. forces need to be withdrawn from this entire region because the original sin here, the original problem, or the most recent manifestation, was the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003, which set in motion a course of events that created ISIS. It did not exist before. It did not exist in that part of the world, and al-Qaeda was not able to function in either Syria or Iraq or Libya before the U.S. intervention.
All right, and on that note, appreciate both of you for being with us. We're out of time. Columnist from The Hill, Brent Podolsky, out of Washington, D.C., and from the Answer Coalition, Richard Becker, out of San Francisco. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you watching us on another debate right here at Press TV. I'm Marzia Hashimi. See you next time.